After these 3 long years enduring all the traumas of the pandemic, I am so thankful that at last there is some hopeful news. Currently, COVID illnesses and deaths in this country are at the lowest level they have been in 3 years. And as I look around, I think in many ways, for most of us, life has become more like it was before the pandemic began. And of course, this is reason to give thanks to God. And at the same time, while the news is more positive, we still live with the realities of the pandemic. Just this week, I've heard several epidemiologists worrying, what will this virus do next? How will it mutate? And of course, though we are in a much better place, nonetheless, last week, 2,000 people died in this country from COVID. I think many, if not all of us, therefore, probably carry pain, loss, a sense of grief caused by all that has happened, by the deaths, the dislocations. As a nation, however, we have largely moved on. We have moved on from the pandemic, leaving many people to silently grieve. We have not, in significant ways, marked the more than 1 million people who have died in this country. There's been little public mourning, very few memorials to the dead, which is very different than other times large numbers of people have died. And this also touches our own parish. We all carry grief. I know as I talk with all of you, often the conversation moves into the sadness we feel. The sadness we feel for those who are no longer with us, those who have died in the last 3 years, very beloved parishioners not with us, as well as those who have drifted away from the parish, who are not with us anymore. I mean, we look around and we see those empty spots they once occupied. I think it can be tempting for us maybe to compartmentalize this loss and grief, to try to put it somewhere over there in a corner of our memories, work hard to get on with things, to resume life, to move into what some people are calling normalcy, though I wonder what that really is. Maybe we think we're being strong and stoic in doing that. But I would argue, if we look at today's lessons, we're called to do anything but compartmentalize, put away, be stoic. We are called instead by these lessons today to not turn away from our grief and our loss. We are called to face it head on and to ask where and how is God present? How is God at work? Psalm 130 seems tailor-made for this. The psalmist cries out, "Out of the depths have I called to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears consider well the voice of my supplication." The psalmist calls us to lift our voices to God, to ask that God hear us and deliver us, to pray to God, for God to consider well the voice of our supplication. But the psalmist doesn't stop there, just crying out to God from the despair of the depths and hoping God will hear. The psalm goes on to offer words of hope and of trust in God. It says, "My soul waits for the Lord, more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, wait for the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. With him there is plenteous redemption." The psalm is reminding us to look for God to respond, to expect that God will answer our supplication. The psalm assures us that with God there is mercy, there is abundant redemption. Everything that afflicts and ails us, that causes us worry and anxiety in the middle of the night, will end. God will deliver us. God will bring us to safety through the challenges and trials of this life, because there is no place where God is not present. There is no place God cannot deliver us. In the lesson from the book of Ezekiel, we hear about this. The prophet has this vision, and it is a desolate vision. It is a valley full of dry, dead bones. This valley seems the last place that life could appear. It seems forgotten, maybe far from God's presence. It is itself an image of death and desolation. I chuckle whenever I read this lesson and hear the Lord asking Ezekiel if these bones can live. I'm glad God didn't ask me, because I would have said, no way. But Ezekiel is wiser than I am, and he doesn't answer God's question directly. Ezekiel says, God, you know. Then God goes on to tell Ezekiel, prophesy to these bones. Prophesy that God's Spirit will enter them and they will live. And so Ezekiel does. He prophesies to the bones and they begin rattling, bone coming to bone. Then sinews come on them, and then flesh. Finally, breath enters them and they stand on their feet, a great multitude. Those bones once again formed into bodies and living. God tells Ezekiel that the people who are despairing in that moment in Ezekiel's time, despairing because they have been ripped out of their homeland and taken into exile, the people of Israel displaced, cut off, worried, where is God now? God is assuring Ezekiel that in that moment, God will indeed bring life. Though the people say in their loss, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost, we are cut off completely. Even in that place, God is present and God will redeem them. God tells Ezekiel, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves. God can do the seemingly impossible, bringing life to dead bones, restoring the people to their homeland. The time of disruption and dislocation will end. God is faithful in keeping God's promise. There will be new life for those who dwell in loss and death. That promise of Ezekiel's vision extends to us as well. God is with us, even in those times when we feel the dryness, the anxiety, the worry. At times that we might feel dusty and lifeless, far from God's presence, God is still with us. From the seemingly hopeless time, God will indeed bring forth new life and renewal. And at the last, God will not abandon us to the grave, but will bring us to the fullness of life for eternity. That promise of God not to abandon us to the grave, to leave us in death, is echoed in our gospel with the account of Lazarus, that friend of Jesus who has died. Before his death, the sisters of Lazarus, Mary and Martha, send word to Jesus that Lazarus is ill. But before Jesus arrives, Lazarus dies and is buried in a tomb. John tells us that on coming to the tomb, Jesus is greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. The crowd witnesses this, seeing how Jesus loved his friend deeply. Jesus weeps at the grave of Lazarus. I find this one of the most touching and striking and emotionally profound moments in John's gospel. It shows clearly the full humanity of Jesus. Just like all of us, he knows the pain of losing someone he loves, and he grieves. He expresses the emotion of his loss. The friend he loves has died, and so Jesus goes to his grave and weeps. But then, after he weeps, Jesus calls for the tomb to be opened, the stone to be removed, prays to God, and then calls out, Lazarus, come out. Miraculously, Lazarus comes out of his grave, still bound in his burial clothes. This is such a poignant reminder that God is not oblivious or absent from our pain and grief. God is not removed and remote from us. In Jesus, God is present exactly where we are, in our flesh and blood lives. Jesus is with us in our pain and sorrows, in all of our suffering and our grief. Jesus himself knows what it is to suffer loss. Jesus knows what it is to weep, and so weeps beside us when we mourn, supports us and comforts us in all we experience. This miracle also shows that Jesus has power over death itself. There is nothing in this world stronger than the love of God made known through Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Just as those dry bones of Ezekiel's vision were not beyond God's power to bring life to the people, so the power of death and the grave itself is not beyond God's reach. Through the waters of baptism, we die with Christ so that we might also live with him, that we might be raised in him to eternal life. As we hear in our epistle today from Paul's letter to the Romans, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his spirit that dwells in you. After Lazarus comes out of the tomb, Jesus tells those around him, unbind him and let him go. I'm always struck by that. And I think that is an important statement for us. Because Jesus reaches out to us this day to unbind us, to release us from whatever restricts and hinders us. Jesus desires fullness of life for us and comes to release us from whatever holds us back from the life that he intends for each of us, that he intends for every beloved child of God. And so this day I invite you to reflect on what needs release in your life. What holds you back? What keeps you from the fullness of life Jesus wants to share with you? How is God present to you now in any worry or pain or loss? And is there something that holds you back, that causes you to hesitate, that binds you, that keeps you from following Jesus? And like that vision of Ezekiel, where do you feel dry and dusty? And what word does Jesus offer you in that place? Bring those things to God in prayer. Offer to God attitudes, practices, beliefs, understandings that keep you from the fullness of life that God desires for you. Cast on Jesus your burdens, your worries, your doubts, your grief, trusting that God will deliver you, that God will give you strength to move through them with the promise of redemption at hand. God is with us, even in those places and times that we may feel far from God's presence. But there is no place God cannot go, God will not go, nothing that God cannot heal and restore. God is with us always in all the cares and occupations of our life, present with us, supporting us, and promising to deliver us. And so this day, just as Jesus said to Mary, the sister of Lazarus, so Jesus says to each of us, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Amen.